The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Well,
this hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to njdiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Two of the great franchises, the San Francisco 49ers, the Chicago Bears, and off we go from Soldier Field. First down at the 16. Deebo Samuel lines up in the backfield for the first time and gets chopped down. The ball comes in, and the Bears are on top of it. Chicago with the first takeaway of 2022. And it's the rookie Jaquan Brisker that falls on top of it. Fields and the Bears into a predictable passing down here, third and seven. Fields given time. He gets picked off by Hufanga, who stays on his feet and is brought down at the 47. So both teams with a takeaway here in the early going. Hufanga picks off Fields. So second and goal. Samuel again looks to use his speed. Deebo Samuel's in. Touchdown, San Francisco. So third down and long. A twist up front, able to collapse the pocket. Fields keeps it alive. Has a wide open Pettis. And now Pettis down the sideline. And in. Improvisation and a touchdown from 51. Play action. Fields given time. Have been good on third down today. 6 out of 12. On third and five, Lance gets intercepted by Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson back inside the 25. On second and goal, Herbert tries it one more time, and this time he's in. The Bears take advantage of the Jackson pick and have a two-score lead. Shocking. 19-10, Bears in front.
The Bears.
That's right. What a fun win. Soldier Field going crazy in the rain. The Bears.
Bedlam.
Was it bedlam? Would you describe it as bedlam?
Yeah, it was a very active crowd. It was a very loud crowd. It was trying conditions even for those of us that were watching. I'm sure it was very difficult to function on the field as well, but it was hard to function even as a fan under some of the conditions that were there. But it was, I thought it was a very vocal, very loud, very live crowd.
Waddle was there. The highlights courtesy of Fox 32. And the Bears are 1-0. The Packers are 0-1. It is Packers week. The Lions lost. The Vikings obviously were the team that beat the Packers. So right now, we know
division watching already in week one. We're on top. Here we go.
Every week you can get through the season where they're competing. Like my motto this year has been build me a football team and play smart football and entertain the hell out of me. And again,
how entertained were you in the first 30 minutes?
Not much. And I was a little upset. I was told you the most concerned I was is when Fields threw his near second interception just before that Pettis play. Because, again, it wasn't a good throw. I felt like it was the least pressured he was the entire game. I'm like, oh, boy, Justin. Justin, no. And then he made some the play with his legs. Then he was smart enough to look back over on the other side of the field, made sure he completed it first and foremost. No one was even close. Got them rolling a little bit. And then they grew from there. And it wasn't the prettiest of wins, but a win is a win is a win, and it's a great ground floor win.
W's come in all shapes and sizes, and you don't apologize for any of them. But you also have to be realistic. There's a lot to be cleaned up here. And I look at what transpired out there yesterday, and there were a lot of things that I was happy to see and excited to see. They carried the discipline that they showed in the preseason into the regular season. Three penalties, 24 yards, one turnover in crappy conditions. Bunch of young guys, 11 rookies on the active roster. That's a disciplined football team. The passion, the energy, the enthusiasm they played with. Defensively, I thought collectively they were good all day long. There were some moments. Trey Lance let one get away from him. He missed a wide open touchdown pass early in the first quarter. There were some breakdowns at times, but overall this team plays really hard. They play disciplined football. They're going to have to become more efficient, more effective as the season goes on offense. There's no question. They were much better in the second half than they were in the first half. The first half was arguably, that was as bad as anything we saw in the Nagy era, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's yes. I don't know how they continue to top themselves with these offensive numbers that are so bad, because I remember watching some of the Nagy games saying, this is as bad as anything I've seen since Cade McNown.
Right.
And then, like, yesterday's first half was
That first half was probably as bad an offensive 30 minutes as we've seen. Now, you give all of them a lot of credit, particularly Justin Fields, for being able to kind of brush that off and get back to work and find a way to make plays and win. And I thought Getsy made some adjustments as well. I think in the second half, you saw him move the pocket more. You saw him get Justin out on the edge because the other stuff wasn't working. Justin eventually is going to have to develop and grow inside the pocket. But when he's on the edge, he's a really dynamic player, and that can be a spark for them. And that's what happened yesterday.
Some of my favorite shows that we've ever done in over 15 years. I always think this obviously, this forum, the sports radio forum, the ESPN 1000 forum, the Waddle and Sylvie show going to games is always fan-driven. And when you go to these games and you spend your time and you spend your hard-earned money on going to these games, it's about experiences and it's about having fun with your friends at these games, your family at these games. So one thing that we've tried to hit in the first couple of hours, Waddle was experiencing it with his family for Alumni Day. Not many of these games that he sits in the crowd, and it's going to be go down. He's always going to say to his wife, his kids, remember when we were out there on the lakefront and it rained 5 inches of rain or whatever it was, and it was still a fun day that you'll never forget. And if you were at the game, or if you were on your couch, wherever you were, but especially for those at the game, we'd love to hear from you at 312-332-3776. And I think it was, again, I think the mojo is good. Even despite the really bad first half, again, like I told you, build me a football team. Field Yates tweeted this out. I think we touched on it a little early. Jaquan Brisker played every snap, 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 fumble recovery. Came close on that prediction. We had the parlay, the same game parlay on DraftKings at plus 500. We had 2 out of the 3 legs, and thank you to everyone who played with us on that. We're going to do that every week on DraftKings. Our parlay was the Bears would recover a 49ers fumble.
Check.
The Bears would cover 7.5.
Check.
And the Bears would get Cole Kmet 29.5 yards receiving.
God.
He had 0 yards receiving.
And no catches.
Now, they used him as a one caller set a lot in pass protection.
Sure.
But other
times. Which is smart.
Fields missed him a couple of times.
Yeah.
So we came up empty, but I was really, when I saw that Jalen Johnson peanut punch, and Peanut was one of the honorary captains, Peanut spoke to the team during the offseason too, and I heard Alex Brown today on Cap and Jay Hood make the reference as being a member of that team, something that Lovey and now Eberflus, what they preach is they're not turnovers.
Right.
No one is giving you the football. They are takeaways.
Amen.
You must take the ball away. And the peanut punch worked. And I think it was great. And we mentioned it with two players, with Jenkins and Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson was running with the twos at the beginning. And he talked about how he didn't buy into Eberflus and the hits and everything like that. There's a lot of stuff goes into buy-ins. And Jalen Johnson recovered to become a starter again and hopefully a player they can build a team around. And sure enough, he was one of the – he made a huge play in that game.
How about Eddie Jackson, who has been a beleaguered player in this town?
2019 was the last time he had a turnover, right?
It was an interception, or I mean, he may have had a fumble recovery, but I think it at the very least 2019 is the last time he had an interception.
And that was the most exciting. My kids were looking at me like I was crazy because I was yelling, go, because I knew he didn't get touched. I'm like, get up, go,
yeah.
go. And like, it was just fun to like your football team again.
You know how, so, yes, no question. That was, it's so interesting to watch. We had a perfect view of that, and you could see Trey Lance staring at him the whole time, and you're just like, you could see exactly what was going to happen, and Eddie played it perfectly. And listen, that's another thing. If Eddie can find a new life here in this defense, and maybe he buys into what Matt Eberflus is trying to teach, and maybe he resurrects his career.
That secondary could be, if sure. he does. Because you've got Jalen Johnson, you've got Brisker, you've got Kyler Gordon. That's right there. And I mentioned Brisker. Kyler Gordon played every snap, 6 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss. As Carmen pointed out, he got beat badly, or something happened on that long pass gain, probably the longest for the 49ers early in the game. Braxton Jones got off to a rough start. It's a step in class, but he ended up playing every snap, and another growing moment. Dominique Robinson, a 5th-round pick. 7 tackles, sack and a half, 2 quarterback hits, and his Pro Football Focus pointed out he was the highest-graded rookie on any team on the defensive side of the football. Those guys contribute, and it makes you believe more in Poles building a team. It makes you believe more in Eberflus developing a team. And let's hope it's off we go.
Yeah. Again, lot to improve on. To me, this season's about developing players and making progress, especially with your quarterback. And as we can see, there's still some progress that needs to be made, specifically from inside the pocket. Justin ended the day with 8 completions for 17 yards, 17 attempts for 121 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Very difficult conditions for sure. But there is growth to be made on all fronts with this team. But the foundation seems to be pretty solid in terms of the effort and the professionalism and the discipline. Now we'll see how the rest of the season unfolds.
312-332-3776. If you're just getting into your car, were you at the game? What'd you think? Packer week coming up here. To me, and there was a good rant here that I want to play in a little bit from Kyle Brandt. Like, I'm at the point right now where it's build me a football team and show me you're not amongst the worst teams in the league. That's where my bar is right now.
I'm with you.
And it's going to grow as we move on. I mean, this isn't going to last long.
We'll raise that bar when necessary.
Yes. And then we'll ask for more.
Yeah.
But as of now, that's where I am. Mo in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show as always.
Good to hear from you, Mo.
How would you say? I'm a long time caller and I hardly listen.
That was awful.
Yeah,
and I think you listen quite a bit.
Normally, we would say well played. I would say poorly played.
Yes,
it's okay. But let me tell you something. Yesterday I was at the game, right? And let me tell you something. That game reminded me of the Hurricane Ditka game. You remember that game against Baltimore? When they had to evacuate the stadium.
Oh, Mallor talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was at that game. I never seen the water yesterday. The water was coming down the steps. Literally, when we walked out the stadium, we're walking in 2 inches of water. I've never seen the stadium that. Wow. It was awesome. I loved it, and I always remember it.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for calling, Mo. Yeah. We appreciate it.
No, one last thing.
All right, well, you got to get to all your points if you're a frequent caller, Mo.
Where's your notes, man?
Okay. No notes. That's for Black and Abdullah. But anyways, why is the morning crew so negative? Like, negative Nancy Kaplan? Come on. 3 wins? Guess what? We just got one of his wins. I can't wait till they win 4 so I can just...
This is what I would advise you, Mo. Don't be bothered by anybody else's predictions. Enjoy your team when they win.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. You guys have a good show.
There you go, Mo. There's Mo.
And don't get salty and red-assed when someone says, see, I told you they were going to lose to someone, and they do lose to someone. I mean, you want to go through that whole exercise of puffing your chest out when they win one and hiding when they lose one.
No.
That's just an exercise in futility.
There were 7, I think we counted, of games that could go... like the Bears way, right? With the Falcons, the Texans, the Giants, the Jets, the two Detroit games, I'm up to six here.
Where you felt good about their chances.
Like they could lose those games. Like
sure.
But again, like they got one that most of us at the beginning of the year when we were scheduled calculating, I had a money line bet on the Bears, and I also had a money, I obviously played them on the with the points. We loved them with the points. But like when we were calculating our schedule, I don't think this was one that we thought they were going to win.
I had them losing by three.
And there may be another one they get that we don't expect them to win, but they're going to be bad losses along the way too. I'm pretty confident.
It happens with everyone. I mean, look at the 49ers definitely didn't think they were going to lose this game. They didn't think they were going to commit 12 penalties for 99 yards. Like, I'm sure they look at this game and say, wow, that was one we expected to win. But there will be one of these types of games on the Bears' schedule at some point as well.
Tennessee never thought they would be talking about a loss.
Exactly. I mean, Atlanta ended up losing to New Orleans, but Atlanta's a frisky team, too.
Yeah, so. That's what Big Cat and I and you were all texting about that. And I texted right at the point where Fields threw that nearly second interception.
Yeah, there were some daubers down at that moment.
And then he texted right back after the Pettis touchdown. Here we go. We're frisky. Yeah. We're frisky again. Yeah. And then we kept getting the frisky texts. Because he wasn't right much this weekend either, Big Cat. He was 0 for 7. Yeah. He wasn't right at all.
Yeah, that's better. It's more accurate.
He talks to us tomorrow. Jeff and Darian, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Everything's good.
Good, good. Hey, you guys are giving a lot of credit to Fields and to Pettis on that touchdown pass, but I don't know if you guys saw the overhead view. I think a lot of credit also needs to go to Montgomery. He was in on that play in Max Protect, and when Fields started scrambling and rolling to the left, he released out of the backfield and did like a 10-yard cross running towards Fields, which took the D-back that was covering Pettis
great
away,
point.
And also the linebacker went to him. So he was double-teamed, leaving Pettis alone.
Well, I would say Equanimeous St. Brown also deserves credit because he's the one that actually engaged in the block that allowed Pettis to get into the end zone.
Exactly. I mean,
there was a lot of credit to be, you know, passed out on that particular play. That turned the game because it was hot garbage in a sack.
Yes.
Offensively until that moment. That was like the 5-minute mark of the third quarter, right? And it just, you know, that was a play. It was an off-schedule, as they like to call them these days, off-schedule play where Justin was being an athlete, making a play, and it provided the spark that was necessary for that.
Got the crowd back into the game, too, right?
It was also, again, another example of you be disciplined, don't beat yourself, let the other team beat themselves, because earlier in that drive, you had a 3rd and 4 where they jammed Montgomery at the line of scrimmage. You were going to punt. But there was a face mask penalty that kept the drive alive. And next thing you know, a few plays later, you're in the end zone building on something.
Roger and Hammond, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rog?
Hey, Waddle. Hey, Sylvie. Hey, Waddle, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
What game do you think was the worst rain weather to play in? The one yesterday or the throwback jersey one on Halloween night that you played in?
Listen, you know, I would be biased because I played in that game. I thought the one thing about being on the field at halftime, there weren't a ton of divots. So the field was kind of in good shape. The grass was in good shape. There was some standing water, but it wasn't chewed up. When we played that game against the Packers, where the Packers kicked our ass, like you, every step you took, you sunk about 3 or 4 inches. I can't imagine, and the good kid was trying to tell us that was more sleet than rain. I'm with you. I mean, that was a downpour for the majority of the first half. It may have started to sleet at the end. I got to tell you, Roger, it was the most miserable I've ever been in a football game at any level. It was just
hideous. Yurko was in an argument mode with me today for whatever reason.
Yeah, that game was not sleety. That game
was
unusually, it was cold rain because
it was called the monsoon game. You don't call a sleet storm monsoon.
Yeah, I mean,
it was, and I think the temperature dropped.
Right.
And I'm Googling, I just Googled October 31st, 1994, right? Wasn't that the year? It was the Butkus Sears retirement jersey. game. Were you were still there in 94,
yeah, I was
right?
there in 94. I thought it was earlier, but maybe I'm wrong. It was the 94 season.
That's what I thought. I was in Iowa, so I wasn't even in town. I was at my first job at a radio station in Iowa, watching on my couch.
You know this stuff better than
so I. So I'm Googling. Like, I got to click on some of these articles.
It was 94, yes.
So it says at 8 p.m. kickoff, yeah. Moderate rain was falling and 40-mile-per-hour north-northeast winds were gusting to 54 miles per hour.
Horrible.
I got a check for more, and I think it just kept dropping. It was like yesterday was like 70, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was the high 60s. We were begging for it to snow. Begging for it, because it would have been more playable if, in fact, it would have snowed. When the rain is coming down like that, and it's cold rain, it's just so miserable.
The final score was 33-6.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people showed up to that game? 66,000 was the old capacity at Soldier Field. Do you know how many people showed up?
No.
47,381 for a Bears-Packers game at the end of October. For Butkus and Sears.
Yeah, it was.
Because the weather was so bad, that's how many people stayed
home.
Like
you said, what'd you say? The wind gusts were up to 50 miles an hour?
Up to 54 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look where the temperature was.
It wasn't even close in terms of conditions, the playing conditions, with regard to just how sloppy they were. Like, that game was definitely affected by the rain. I don't think the wind ever really became a huge issue for much of the game. And the field stayed intact. Like, it looked like a cow pasture when we were halfway through.
I teased this earlier. I never got to it. You want to know what my dark sky app says about the Packer game?
Of course, yes.
All right, so it shows you Sunday 65% chance of rain in Green Bay. According to the Dark Sky app, Sunday at 6 p.m., 2% chance of rain.
Oh, it's going to be a snowstorm.
It says 8 p.m., partly cloudy, 0% chance of
rain. Bring your ponchos.
Let's see how wrong Dark Sky will be.
Scuba gear.
Pack your ponchos and galoshes.
Exactly.
That's what it says.
You'll be up there all hammered up.
I will be, yes. It is a kids-free game. Trying to think the last time I went to a game without kids. Oh, with you guys last year. And when we did drink quite a bit in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't recall your kids being there for that.
No. That was a kids-free game, yeah. 312-332-3776. It's a Victory Monday. Let's talk some Bears. We've got the good, the bad, the dirty coming up. And a lot more. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Guys, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is where Waddle and I exclusively play. We're getting ready for week two soon with Thursday Night Football. It's going to be an outstanding matchup. Big plays, even bigger wins at DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any football game. You get $200 in free bets instantly. You want more action? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. You bet on LA or Kansas City to win. And if that team leads by 7 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if that team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WMVP. You'll get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. It's code WMVP only at DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 years or older, Illinois only. Bonus issued is free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility in terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. The good.
It's gone! Oh my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. The good, the bad, the dirty, brought to you by my great friends and partners over at Window Nation. Call them today like I did at the beginning of the year. Their number is 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION. They've got the halftime sale going on. You get half price. Buy two windows, get two free, or visit windownation.com, plus no payments of any kind till 2025. Window Nation, check them out today. Around the room we go. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing that we perceive as dirty.
So much to choose from.
What do you got as your good?
I went away from Justin Jefferson. I was hoping one of you guys would mention his performance. But I went with Brian Daboll's decision to go for two in Tennessee. I thought it was a good decision. It's a team that's trying to build a little chemistry and a little bit of culture. And coupled with the play of Saquon Barkley, who looked like an entirely new guy. Obviously, injuries have taken their toll on him. 160-plus yards rushing. And then the two-point conversion was him doing something individually as well. So I thought the Giants, much like the Bears, got a big win with a new head coach. So my good was what the Giants did in Tennessee.
It's good. I want to give a shout-out on Friday to the White Sox. That was a game that they always lose. And maybe it was a game that helped at least keep their season alive, right? Weren't they a dead team for eight innings? I had some tweets telling me, Sylvie, see, La Russa really making an impact. Oh, wait, La Russa's not there. Only then for the ninth inning for them to come back. And would they score six?
They won 5-3.
Was it five?
I thought they won.
They put up in the
when
Friday?
They went 5-3.
Five. It was, yeah, it was they were five. Down 3-0.
3-0, and they
one
put
out
up
in the
five
ninth, and they
the
scored
ninth.
Five. Yeah,
it was, and then Liam Hendricks shut the door. So that was a maybe season saving win. I mean, this is a
and
huge
they still
week.
Find themselves 2.5 back, right? They,
three in the loss column too, which is not good, but it's still doable.
Yes.
And they busted out the Thunder sticks of late, so.
Yeah, lots of dongs.
Yeah, baby. You win games when you hit dongs. That's what happens.
Right? You do.
You know what it is? It is the greatest deodorant for the other crappy things that you don't do right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't expose them as yes. much. What do you guys have? What's your good?
Boys, I will say I got a couple of goods coming from the Kansas City Chiefs game because Patrick Mahomes is excellent, especially in September. Another 5 touchdown passes. I believe his career TD to interception rate in September is 46 TDs and something like 2 interceptions.
That's incredible.
He knows what he's doing in September. Just
by the way, Melick, did you see? I don't mean to interrupt real quick, but did you see on the similar front the statistic for Brady?
I did. Is this the red zone?
The red zone touchdowns,
50-0, was it?
Yeah.
Since like 2020, right?
Yeah.
That Tom Brady has 50 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Yes, in the red
inside
zone.
Inside the red zone.
Yeah.
Not
to you,
too shabby. Yeah. And also occurring in that Chiefs game that may have gone unnoticed by some. Because they were trouncing the Cardinals, Harrison Butker had to leave due to injury. Did you guys happen to see safety Justin Reed come in and not only make an extra point, but then kick a touchback on the kickoff?
Yeah. Wasn't there video of him in training camp?
Yeah, he
walking?
Kicked one against the Bears.
Well, what he did was he convinced Andy Reed, because he wanted to be, he's the backup kicker, to let him go out there during the preseason and actually get some game reps. And it paid dividends yesterday.
Especially with all the special team errors.
And then
errors.
Did you see Harrison Butker came in like a couple, like a quarter later flight. And hit like a 50-yarder?
Yeah.
So much for him being injured.
Yeah. You guys stuck with that game late.
Well, you know what I like is when the NFL goes to 4 games in the afternoon window, I prefer more games. I like to divvy them, like when they divvy them
up. It's even,
however,
right.
For my purposes, the 4 games is perfect television watching for the quad box. If you have the DirecTV NFL package, quad box is like perfect for one TV.
This is the last year for that, right?
It is.
TV. All right, Tyler, did you give us your good?
My good, I'm going to pick up what Waddle was putting down to. Justin Jefferson was fantastic in that first half against the Packers. 158 yards, a Vikings franchise record for most yards in a half. Also caught 2 touchdowns as well.
What's a great way to shake a guy free when you know he's going to be the focal point of a defense? Move him around. And they moved him around, as Meller said, more in that game, I think, than they did in the entire 2021 season combined.
And they have other good weapons, too.
Absolutely. Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. They've got some guys. They got some dudes.
What's your bad?
My bad was the Bengals special teams. You saw the extra point that was blocked at the end of the game, which would have given the Bengals a 21-20 victory. Then they missed a 25-yard field goal, approximately 25-yard field goal in overtime. And then at the end of overtime, they snapped a punt with like 14 seconds left on the play clock. And there was like a minute and eight on the game clock when it started. And what they should have done was run it all the way down to 1 second and then snap the ball. In other words, to prevent the Steelers from having an extra 14 seconds. Now, I get it. I think they were on their backup snapper. But at the end of the day, you just can't make that mistake. And they addressed it after the game. But the Bengals special teams is a big reason why. Again, Joe Burrow played like crap. But the Bengals special team, even with that said, if the Bengals special teams just do their job, Bengals win that game.
Was it, you said earlier, will this be his worst game of the year? Wasn't it similar to Joe Burrow's game against the Bears?
Could have been.
Did he have three straight interceptions? Three passes?
Yes, three consecutive passes were all intercepted by Bears defenders. I believe one of them was returned, too, by Roquan, wasn't
it? Yeah, sounds right. My bad is Chris Collinsworth's voice. We talked about this in the pre-show meeting. That's not what you expect when you turn on Sunday Night Football. We were saying, wasn't there someone else who could have just slid into the booth? He tried, and I guess what they kept saying that he was okay. You alerted me on this, Meller. You were,
yeah, travel,
that he feels okay. He just sounds like crap.
They were like, travel two games this weekend or something, and so. Did they do the
Thursday night game?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did he pass a COVID test and they just didn't want to pull him out of the booth? I don't know.
Well, remember Van Gundy in the NBA Finals? There was one of them won game.
Yes.
And he ended up missing. He had a terrible voice, too. So.
Well, the problem was it was 3 minutes into the game and it was abundantly clear that it was not going to be a good broadcast with him there. Because, unfortunately, when you do this for a living, if you're sick,
oh, yeah.
The people who are watching, you know, it's not a great...
You feel uncomfortable, too.
Yes. I didn't think it got... I thought it was bad throughout. I didn't think it got really noticeably worse, though, as the game went on. I think it kept...
You got used to it.
Yeah.
But it's really... like that they would stay with him. And not go to someone else that they have.
It's one thing, Sylvie, you're right. Like, if you're kind of, like, in a bad spot and you don't have anyone else to turn to, and maybe Tirico doesn't want to go solo on the broadcast, although I'm sure he could handle it. But you could. But you've also got Rodney Harrison just kind of, like, walking around the field doing the pregame show. You've got options who could just pop in the booth.
I joked in the pre-show meeting, too, that he didn't pick his spots. Chris Collinsworth was a full go. Yeah. And, like, that's what made it more annoying. It's like, dude, take it. Maybe put in a lozenge.
I will
have a cup of hot tea.
I will piggyback with your Collinsworth note there, Sylvie, because in that game, Chris Collinsworth gave us the anecdote that Dak Prescott informed them during their production meeting that he's now the old guy in the room and is becoming noticeable because of all the players who are gamers these days. Dak says he likes video games, but he's not as into some of the games as his teammates are. And oh, by the way, Dak also is gone for 7 to 8 weeks due to a broken thumb, or a joint near his thumb. So that is bad for the Cowboys and the entire NBC broadcast.
It still cracks the hell up out of me is when I see, what's his face, the owner.
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. In just the big interview after the game.
Yeah, Dak's gonna have surgery tomorrow. I know he's gonna miss some time.
We knew right away he was going to be out for a while.
That's why I will say this. This one thing I kind of do admire about the Cowboys. They don't hide anything. Jerry's there to tell you before they even leave the building for that night exactly what's
going
on.
Ryan Pace would speak like one time all year. Jerry Jones holds a press conference after every game as the owner.
It's funny, too, because you would think he'd be like, you know what, we'll get some tests done. We'll meet you tomorrow. Now, he's going to have surgery, likely be out 7 to 8 games.
Mike Tirico gave us that nugget before the broadcast wrapped up on NBC.
He was ready to
preview Bears-Packers for next week, and Mike's like, oh, by the way, before we get to the preview, Jerry Jones just informed everybody that Dak's out for 7 to 8
weeks. He also gave you an editorial, too, about the play of the game. He says, one very good before Dak got hurt, and one very good after Dak got hurt.
By the way, another bad is your coach sucks.
Yeah.
And that was apparent last year. Your coach sucks.
Sean Payton is just waiting for that.
Better. Okay. What do you got, Tyler?
My bad is the AFC South, the division that did not pick up a single win, despite the fact that two of the teams played each other. The Colts and Texans played to a tie yesterday, so my bad. The winless AFC South.
What do you got, Waddle, for your
It's not dirty, it's dumb. This is my dumb.
This is your good, bad, and dumb?
Some things that coaches do are just so dumb. One is pretending like you're protecting national secrets with things you do. The other is wearing sweatshirts in 95-degree weather when the humidity level is about 98 degrees as well. Joe Judge is standing on the sidelines in Miami.
That's so Joe Judge.
With a sweatshirt on. Like, what is it about? I'm a coach. I'm coaching, so I'm going to wear a sweatshirt. It's 95 degrees. I am a victim of heat stroke, no question, in the first 15 minutes of today's game. What the F are you doing?
Is it because he wants his arms covered from sunburn?
You can do that with a, you know, like a, trust me, they have access to Under Armour gear where that's just a thin layer that covers your body. He's wearing a sweatshirt.
Wearing a full hoodie or something?
Yes. Joe Judge. Sweatshirt.
Joe Judge. How is Bill Belichick so
Belichick,
good?
By the way, had like a golf shirt that was untucked. A big like floppy golf shirt untucked.
But how is he so smart and he went with all these guys as his OCs? Who, like Patricia and Judge. How is he allowing this to happen?
Is it the
players that make the coach?
I think we've seen the best of the Bill Belichick era.
Tom Brady, like, dialing that thing up?
I don't think it was all Tom Brady, but I think Tom Brady was the elixir for a lot of stuff that
was... Think about how many misses they have up and down their drafts recently as well.
Yep.
But again, I go back to Joe Judge wearing a sweatshirt, 95 degrees in Miami at noon. What the F are you doing?
My dirty... I sent you guys this. This is from TMZ. It was this TMZ exclusive, by the way. Vegas sex worker offering VIP to Raiders for the 2022 season. A Vegas sex worker is down to ensure the Raiders are really taken care of all football season by offering her VIP services at discounted prices to all players and staff. They played like it, didn't they?
If you throw three interceptions, you pay double?
No, half price. Maybe. They got half price. Her name is Ariel Ganja. Do you guys know her? Ariel Ganja?
I don't know. I think he's talking to you guys. Tyler and Jeff, do you know her?
She's at the Chicken Ranch brothel. Is that the Bunny Ranch's competition, the Chicken Ranch? She tells TMZ Sports that she's offering a 50% off special to the entire organization for her sexual services for 2022-23 as a thank you for bringing excitement to Las Vegas.
Is that different than the Rooster Ranch?
Feels like it would be, doesn't it?
Just ask. Yeah,
there's an easy punchline there that I can't. I don't think even now with the new rules that I could go with.
Well, let's try it and find out.
It's 50% off a certain type of body organ at the Rooster Ranch.
If you don't want to be off for a couple of days, I'd just ask Jeff and Tyler what their dirties are.
My dirty gentleman is the fact that did Cordarrelle Patterson's entire career get wasted by the coaching staffs that had him prior to his landing spot in Atlanta? Again.
All I know is my assistant coach had him on our bench.
Running for 120 yards on 20 carries, and I'm talking making like jump cuts all over the place.
He's a big fella, too.
He's 240 pounds, and when he cuts downhill, he makes that cut and goes. And it's not always just one cut. I said multiple jump cuts. He is a ridiculously good running back whose career was wasted as a wide receiver first 10 years of his career.
Right, but the Bears, remember, Nagy did a lot of things wrong. Nagy used him than we liked as a running back. Didn't we always bitch how much they were giving it to Cordarrelle Patterson?
It was always that jet sweep.
Yeah.
They couldn't block the Jets.
You know what? It's better. That's why. You know what, though? It's give him. Let him make the one cut and go. He's so powerful yesterday. Like, he looks ridiculous again. It was good last year.
Tyler, wrap us up.
My dirty is Pro Football Focus because they ranked Patrick Mahomes as the 8th best quarterback after week 1 based on their grading. So, Patrick Mahomes.
How did that happen?
360 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, 8th best grade among all quarterbacks.
Who was number 1?
Number one was Josh Allen. Number two was Kirk Cousins. Number three was Ryan Tannehill. Number four was Justin Herbert. Number five, Jameis Winston.
Isn't that, like, how many points did Tennessee score?
20.
And, like, how does that happen? Where Ryan Tannehill is graded better than Patrick Mahomes?
Look, I don't know that, with all due respect to the individual graders, how do you know exactly what the progression is and where the ball's supposed to go and what the protection is. I don't get all of that.
All right, all your calls coming up, 312-332-3776. And there was one NFL Network analyst who told everyone who didn't believe in the Bears that they suck. Wait till you hear this.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming up at 5. Guys, are you ready for week 2 of Thursday Night Football? You can get ready with DraftKings, the Casino Queen Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and the only place Waddle and I play. New customers can bet just $5 in any football game. Get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action? Everyone can experience a thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on LA or Kansas City to win. If your team leads by 7 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if that team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code WMVP. Get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet in any football game. Code WMVP. Only at DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 years or older, Illinois only. Bonus issued is free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Waddle will tell you about his experience being in the crowd yesterday. If you were at the game, you're just getting into your car, get free today. Want to hear from the fans. What is your big takeaway from the game? And just want to hear about your experiences there as well. 312-332-3776. I've got some Kyle Brandt audio in about 7 minutes I want to play. Called out a lot of the media, some of the takes on the Bears. Let's go to Meredith in Fort Wayne. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Meredith?
Meredith.
Hello.
Meredith. Meredith.
Keep yelling. The call, the line was, yesterday showed that the Bears should go to the Dome.
I have felt the Bears should go to the Dome well before yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
But yesterday accentuated my feelings.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the Dome.
Yeah.
The Dome. That's a T-shirt. Go to the Dome. Go,
Dome ready is the motto, even though the mayor won't.
Were there people today, like, did they call the station all day talking about bear weather? And
no,
this is why we don't need a roof.
That the Bears won the game because of the weather, that the Bears benefited from it, that it just, the experience of watching that game. I think Peter King wrote about it, that they should forget the Dome.
Why?
That the Fog Bowl, some of the games in the snow, those can't be replicated. If you're playing indoors.
And what? And that's a bad thing? Like, why do I want to see that again? Why do I want to see another monsoon game? I've played in one and watched the other. Neither was a pleasant experience.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
the only reason we remember the nasty one from Halloween in 1994 is because it happened when they were honoring Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers. That's the only reason.
And if it was still a random Monday night game and they weren't honoring Butkus and Sayers, I would still remember
it. You may remember it, but it wouldn't be highlighted the way this is.
I think it would.
Dick Butkus is standing out there in a Glad bag.
Yeah, they didn't have ponchos back then, right? They put on a Glad
bag. Garbage bags. And we got boat raced by the Packers.
That's the thing. That's my thing. Is it's another memorable ass whipping that the Packers gave us. And I'm hoping this weekend isn't the same. I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers doesn't reclaim his ownership of our franchise up north this week.
Wasn't that just kind of an all-encompassing summarization of some of our issues? Dick Butkus, arguably one of the top two or three defensive players in the history of the NFL, is standing on Soldier Field, the 50-yard line, with a Glad bag on.
With Gale Sayers.
With Gale Sayers.
Yeah, there were
arguably the most dynamic, you know, running back in a short period of time.
There was also something else wrong with that. I want to bring that up, too. It's just so Bears, too. 312-332-3776. Want to hear about your experiences? I want to play you Kyle Brandt. Lots of fun coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.